Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I am so excited. We are broadcasting today from Apex Entertainment Center in Marlboro, and I believe the street we're on is actually called Apex Drive, so it's very easy to find. It's a beautiful spot. I had no idea how gorgeous this place was going to be. It really is. It's like a restaurant in here. There's a bar. You can get some drinks. It's really fun, and you'll be able to hear the show really well. I know how you guys operate. I know some people will be coming to see Howie Carr, and that's okay. I'm not offended, but if you want to stop by early and see me, I will be here for my entire show. Now, I do want to talk a little bit in the beginning here about what happened last night, because as you know, there's no shortage of issues in this administration right now. We have what's happening at the border. Joe Biden is trying to pass both a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, but also a $3.5 trillion social spending bill, you know, depending on what you want to call it. Some people are calling it a boondoggle. Some people are calling it extremely necessary. Depends on who you ask. But Joe Biden has his priorities straight. I always say this. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter what's happening in Afghanistan or what's happening in Del Rio. He does what he wants to do. And last night, he wanted to watch baseball. Take me out to the ball game. And so that's what he did. He went to the congressional baseball game. And I have to say, he was booed, according to headlines. I saw that on the Daily Mail today. He was booed. I saw that in the New York Post. And I'm going to be honest with everyone. I'm very skeptical of headlines about people being booed, because all it takes for a headline to say someone is booed is for a handful of people to boo them. And once everyone else is cheering, sometimes it's hard to hear if they're really being booed by the majority of the people there. Now, I did watch the video. It does appear that there was a group that were booing Joe Biden. And I think the part of this that's the most telling is that he's being booed at Nationals Park. There, you're not going to find a warmer, woker, friendlier, DC Beltway, beautiful people, elitist hacks than at Nationals Park. So you can only imagine what would have happened if he had gone to a regular baseball park. I think that we would have been listening to some chants. I'll just put it there. I'm not going to go any further. I'll just say there might have been some Joe Biden chants happening. But all he was subjected to was a few boos. Now, the reason I bring this up is because besides the boos, I noticed something else. There's a video of Joe Biden walking over to Nancy Pelosi. He does not have a mask on. She does not have a mask on, and giving her a nice wet kiss and a hug. And this is nothing new. You know, we've seen this mask hypocrisy, this mask theater for the last 18 months. But I really started to think of Joe Biden and how he's everywhere when it comes to masks. Like, he's on all sides of this thing. And I started to think of all of the times, the contradictions in the way he wears this mask. And here are a few examples. He will walk to a helicopter outside with a mask on. Yet, in a baseball game full of people hugging and kissing, no mask. Okay, now, I'm a little confused by that. He will, with Boris Johnson, for example, sitting down with Boris Johnson, UK Prime Minister, mask. Standing up, arm around his shoulder, no mask. Zoom call with foreign leaders, mask. Sitting on Jimmy Carter's lap for a photo op, Jimmy Carter, who's like 5,000 years old, no mask. And I really was thinking, like, what is, besides the fact that he's clearly not afraid of anything, And he's clearly, he's not terrified of this virus because he's able to forget about when he wants to put his mask on. I started to think, what is it based off where he is that dictates when he puts this on? And what
it's science.
Well, yeah, it is science. It's settled science, thank you. But what I've kind of come to the conclusion of a little bit is, it's like when a person changes their personality based off who they're dating. You know, like a girl gets a boyfriend who likes motorcycles, so she starts wearing a leather jacket. I feel as though he changes his mask theater based off who he thinks his current audience is. Like if he's handing out hoagies to a bunch of union guys, no mask. You know, he's got to look like he's a man of the people, you know? And if he's at a baseball game, oh, America's pastime. I'm with my guys here. No mask. But if he's getting a booster shot in front of the White House press corps, in front of a fake backdrop, he's got to have that black mask on. And besides the phoniness of all of this, what it really does is it projects disorganization in this administration, because it shows you how all over the place they are with this pandemic and why people don't trust them. And the reason it's important that people trust them and what they say is because when you're trying to get people vaccinated, when you're trying to, you know, put in these policies, if people don't believe what you're saying, then that's going to create an issue. And what this kind of got me thinking of, and it's why I wanted to start with this today, is the goalposts. And I know it's an overused expression. We've been talking about it for 18 months. The goalposts have been moved time and time and time and time again. And nobody's surprised by it at this point. In fact, I would go a step further. I would say we're all a little bit numb to the goalposts. But I want to circle back, as Jen Psaki would say. I want to circle back to these goalposts because when you really look at it now, when you step back a second and you look at this timeline of things we were told by people we're supposed to trust, who are complete hypocrites and don't buy into their own fear-mongering, it's breathtaking. Let's go back to the very, very beginning. I'm talking about 2 weeks. That's right. 2 weeks to slow the spread. Do you remember that? That was 18 months ago, we were told. Stay home. Larry David was doing those funny PSAs like, oh, who doesn't want to stay home and watch TV? And everyone was watching Tiger King and trying to make sourdough bread from scratch and, you know, doing the Zoom happy hours and Zoom trivia. It feels like 1,000 years ago. But we were told stay home for 2 weeks to flatten the curve, to not overwhelm the hospitals. And then, and please call in, correct me if I'm, you know, if my timeline's off here, because it all feels like a blur. But then we were told to mask up. At first, Fauci said in his emails that masks don't really do anything. In fact, I think at one point it was patriotic and it was kind not to wear a mask because you were saving the PPE for healthcare workers. So that was, at first, I wasn't wearing a mask and I was a hero. I wasn't like one of those selfish celebrities like Bella Hadid taking selfies with a mask. I was a good person. That switched up. And suddenly masks became a huge part of the religion. And people like Charlie Baker were telling us that we have to wear masks religiously. And not only that, but if we wear masks religiously, the results will be amazing. This thing will be gone in 30 days. That was 18 months ago. Let's play this cut. This is Charlie Baker, cut 19.
The simple truth is here, you know, the CDC has said this. Dr. Fauci has said this. Many other folks in the epidemiological community have said this. If people would just wear these things religiously for 30 days, we could kill the virus. Religiously wear them for 30 days.
That was 30 days plus 30 days plus 30 days plus 30 days plus 30 days times something days ago. And the craziest part is that if you actually, what I should have done this morning when I was talking to Matt and Jared is I should have said, we're going to do a timeline of COVID goalposts only using Charlie Baker. Because usually I stay more national. I don't know why. It just, that's how things tend to go for me. But when you look at Charlie Baker, he's the perfect case of someone who was constantly telling us, this is the last thing you have to do. This is the last freedom you have to give up. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Then we'll go back to normal.
Because There's a lot at stake here.
I know. Governor, trust me. I know what's at stake here. God forbid, you wouldn't want us to end up wearing masks for 18 months, right? No, of course not. So he says, wear masks religiously. And I'm just going to break this down quickly, and I'm throwing it out to the callers because I want to hear if I want to hear what people think is a good sign of we're getting out of this, that people aren't listening to the Bakers, the Bidens, and all these nuts. But first it was, you know, 2 weeks. Then it was wear masks religiously. Then it was wait until the vaccine. Baker was a big proponent of once we get a vaccine, dot, dot, dot. Then it was two masks. Then it was we got a vaccine. Let's get the vulnerable vaccinated. Then it was, okay, we got the vulnerable vaccinated, but wait. We need to figure out how to get the kids vaccinated. Then it was herd immunity. Then it was masks off for a little bit. You guys remember that? Oh, that was a really nice two-week period where we all took our masks off and everyone was like, this is nice. The kids started going to the bars again. It was really fun. Then it was masks on again. Then it was booster shots. That's the latest thing. And then this week, Joe Biden was asked, you know, what percentage do we have to get to? And he said 97 to 98%. We're going to play all of this sound. I'm going to play Dr. Fauci saying that he is changing up the regimen for what is considered fully vaccinated. I'm going to play the 97, 98% cut. But I just have to say that eventually we will get to a point where there is one alien on some planet who is not vaccinated because of some bogus religious exemption. He doesn't want to get vaccinated, and he's putting us all at risk, and we're all going to have to mask up yet again because there's no end game for this. The only end game is all of these college football fans and people just getting out there and taking off this mask and taking off these handcuffs that we've been in for 18 months. And I think it was David Marcus or Carol Markowitz, both two of my favorite writers, but I can't remember who wrote this specifically. But someone said, you know, you're like trapped in a cage here with all these COVID restrictions, and we've gone too far now where you're not going to slip out of it. You've got to break it. You've got to totally take that cage and break it in two. And I'm at that point. I think a lot of other people are at that point. And that's my question for you is, you know, what are you doing to kind of move on from this, even if it's just in your own way? 844-500-4242. And I should mention, I went to a store the other day that had a mask requirement. It was in Chestnut Hill, and I didn't wear a mask, and no one said anything. And I know they were all thinking it.
Oh, did this just happen?
This just happened. And I know they were all thinking it, but nobody said anything. And I'm like, okay, so at the very least, my rule is I need people to have to tell me to put it on. I'm not going to put it on until I'm told to put it on. And even then, maybe I'll leave if I don't need to be in there. But if I'm going on a plane or something, that's one thing. But at least get through the threshold and get through the door and have them say to you, please put a mask on. Because otherwise, we're just making it too damn easy for this nonsense. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Here you come again, Dr. Fauci, just when I thought I was starting to get my life together. We're going to take you guys back in time. We're going to go through the timeline of these COVID goalposts. And what spurred this is that Biden this week, off the cuff, unless someone said it in his earpiece, told the press that he thinks we're going to get to 97 or 98% before we can go back to normal. And this whole thing about going back to normal, no one gives you permission. Like, I've never understood this. Oh, we'll be allowed to go back to normal. You can go back to normal when you want to go back to normal. And not the new normal. I'm talking the old normal. Because I'm not into this new normal. Deb, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Deb.
Grace, first of all, I'm so proud of you. And it's so have a young woman embrace the principles that you embrace, freedom, freedom of choice. I just want to speak out a little bit about individual sovereignty, which is what this country is built upon.
I appreciate the kind words. You're hitting your phone pad while you're talking, so just back away from your phone a little bit and then go ahead.
I'm so sorry, Grace, and thank you. So I want to talk a little bit about individual sovereignty.
Sorry, Deb. Yeah, we're getting a bad connection. But I understand what Deb's point, I think, is just that everyone should be able to make their own medical decisions, and that is not what people like Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden want. They want to be able to tell you what decisions to make. And let's do a little bit of a flashback. Jared, we played Charlie Baker telling us if we wear masks religiously, but I want to go back to the beginning. This is Dr. Fauci in April 2020, cut 20, please.
Remember when I was speaking to you before, I was saying this was really a bad week. There's still going to be a lot of deaths, but we're starting to see in some areas now that kind of flattening, particularly in a place that was a hot spot like New York.
The flattening of the curve. It was amazing because, you know, the entire concept of not overwhelming hospitals did make sense to a lot of people. And that's how they really worked this, is that it made sense, you know, the logic behind it. All right, if we slow down the amount of cases, flatten the curve, not overwhelm the hospitals, and people bought into that. But we didn't realize what we were signing up for. And I say this a lot, I know I repeat it, and I can't take credit for it because I saw it somewhere. But the idea that eventually we will move on from this. Eventually Democrats will find a new crisis, a new panic, a new freak out to push on the American people. They will move on. We will eventually put this in the rear view. I don't know when it's going to be, but at some point. But they will never forget that we gave up so many of our freedoms. They'll never forget that we got suckered into giving up our businesses and putting our kids in masks. And, you know, and you look at what's happening in Australia, and that's really mind-blowing. That's where this happens. If you let this go so off course, this is where you're going to end up. And it's frightening. Before we go to the calls again, let's do the poll question quick here. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you could be the next one. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the infrastructure bill pass by the end of the week?
No, because Pelosi says she thinks it's going well, but Hoyer said nope, he does not have confidence that this is going to happen. So I'm going to say no.
72% of the audience agrees no, it will not.
Besides the photo of Joe Biden giving Pelosi a nice wet smooch on her cheek yesterday at the baseball game, there was also a picture of her on the phone with someone. She looked very distressed. And she's not the only one. Chris Hayes from MSNBC was on Twitter yesterday melting down about the idea that they will not pass this $3.5 trillion spending deal. When you read these tweets, in all caps, by the way, in all caps, you understand that not only at MSNBC, not only at CNN, but people have just lost their minds. And I used to think that people like Chris Hayes push this stuff to freak people out, but I think he's really in a panic. I think he buys his own BS. 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to. We'll take more of your calls. Apex in Marlboro. Come check it out. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're just kind of going over a timeline of these moving goalposts. But I also, I do have to say, and I'm going to take all the calls here in a second. I'm on Twitter right now, and there's something crazy happening in California. Ooh, spoiler alert. That's a big shocker to people, I'm sure. But it looks like there's a group of people hold on, let me make sure I have this right. They're blocking, I think, the Golden Gate Bridge because they are hoping that, okay, so here it is. Protesters have blocked traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge to demand Congress grant a pathway to citizenship for the country's 11 million undocumented people. Now, they have a big sign that says override the parliamentarian, and that's because the Senate parliamentarian said that amnesty and all of these pathways to citizenship could not be included in the massive reconciliation bill that the Democrats are trying to pass. So they just want them to throw out the Constitution and override the parliamentarian. But Stephen Miller writes, ticking off 90% of the people who agree with you because they're blocking all this traffic. You don't think the people on the bridge in San Francisco are agreeing with what you're doing? They probably are. They're probably down for it. They're probably not the people you need to convince. But that's not the only place where we're seeing these complete meltdowns over this $3.5 trillion. And I have to be honest. I live in my, you know, my own little world, and I'll admit that. And I go on my, like, Twitter, and I see the people I agree with. And, you know, I follow some accounts that will post things from the crazy left. But there's only so much I can do. But when I hear the $3.5 trillion, I don't know anyone in my regular life, and I'm friendly with, you know, people who are more liberal. I don't know anyone in my life who is convinced that we need this $3.5 trillion. And yet, yesterday, when I'm watching, I wasn't watching it on C-SPAN, but when I saw the clips of the Nationals park and Joe Biden going to watch this baseball game, there were people with big banners and big signs that said, like, we need the $3.5 trillion. Or, you know, you're not going to, I want to get the exact phrasing of this because I was like, wow, people really do. Okay, here it is. One read, our lives are not a game. Pass $3.5 trillion. Another warned more bluntly, Democrats, don't bleep this up. So I'm thinking, wow, some people are really, really convinced that we need this $3.5 trillion, that, like, whatever, tree equity is going to change their lives. $79 billion for the IRS. Who doesn't wake up and think, I don't know if I can go on another day if the IRS doesn't get $79 billion more dollars? But one of those people, actually, is Chris Hayes. He had a Twitter meltdown last night. I'm going to read you these, okay? There is no... Now, he's upset with Joe Manchin, because what Joe Manchin, the senator, the moderate senator from West Virginia, said is, while I am hopeful that common ground can be found that would result in another historic investment in our nation, I cannot and will not support trillions in spending or an all-or-nothing approach that ignores the brutal fiscal reality our nation faces. There is a better way, and I believe we can find it if we are willing to negotiate in good faith. Well, brutal fiscal reality was not a term that Chris Hayes appreciated, because he lives in a unicorn reality where money grows on trees and $3.5 trillion is going to cost us nothing. So he writes in all caps, there is no brutal fiscal reality the nation faces. It is entirely made up. On the other hand, the earth is going to warm past the threshold it's ever reached while supporting human life. So that's kind of a brutal reality we face. Yikes. Someone needs to talk to Greta Thunberg stat, because he is in a panic. Let's go to the phone lines here. Greg, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. I think they're going to keep this pandemic going through the 2022 election. I think they're going to have a new emergency that will emerge from the border assault. Somebody bringing in a variant that will keep it going. I think that this is going to have to be fought at the ballot box, and people need to wear the mask so they're good and pissed off when it comes time to cast their vote. And I think people need to look at people like Dan Crenshaw to elect to Congress and Senate.
Now, Greg, while I appreciate all your points, you mentioned the border. And to that I say, I'm not sure what you're talking about, because according to Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, there's nothing going on in our border. In fact, take a listen to this. This is Sheila Jackson Lee.
Let me pronounce to my friends that the border is both sovereign and secure, it is obviously subjected to biased and unfair narratives for political purposes.
Is she talking about the fake narratives about how the Border Patrol agents were whipping Haitians? Turns out they were just using reins on their horses. Is that one of the unfair narratives? Oh, no, that narrative's okay. That pushes the right narrative. Amazing. Sovereign and secure. Has Sheila Jackson Lee seen the drone footage from Fox News? Thousands of Haitians pouring over the border. No bathrooms. It's complete squalor. And she's saying it's sovereign and secure. And that's just in Del Rio. That's just in Del Rio. There's still kids in, you know, I know they're not cages anymore. They're overflow migrant facilities. But there's still a lot of humanitarian disasters happening all over, not just in Del Rio. But according to Sheila Jackson Lee, we're all good. She should tell that to Obama, because he said that a nation with open borders can't sustain itself. By the way, ABC, they took that out of the interview. They didn't like that. They decided, you know what, we're gonna give him a nice edit. We'll take this out for him so he doesn't have such a headache in the morning. Mike, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, we live in pretty dumb times, and I think the biggest problem is people don't want to be free. They don't want to be sovereign, so to speak. They don't want to make their own decisions. They actually want people to tell them what to do so they don't have to think about it. I think that's why so many people gave up freedoms as quickly and as easily as they did. I think you make a great point about the playbook being set, right? Like, there's the precedent now that the next, you know, issue is, this is how we're going to roll things out. I'm going to make a prediction here, Grace. And I'm actually, in a weird way, kind of rooting for it. The Democrats have to sweep in 2022, and the Democrats have to sweep in 2024. And what I mean by sweep is, we have to rip this Band-Aid off. They're coming for our guns, because that's the only thing that separates us from Australia, is the Second Amendment. Until they get that, until they force us to relinquish our firearms, they will never get what they want. And we have to get to that point, unfortunately, because that's the only thing that's going to get us back to some sort of normalcy, like you were mentioning 10, 15 minutes ago.
Well, it's, you know, Mike, you said that we live in dumb times. And while I agree with you, I would say that is a that's an understatement, a huge understatement. But I agree with your point about people wanting to be told what to do. And that confuses me, because... And you know what? I follow a lot of writers from New York, especially, and I mention them all the time. I already mentioned them, and we're only like 40 minutes into this show. But people like Libby Emmons and Carol Markowitz, they're New Yorkers. They're real New Yorkers. You know, they love New York City. And one thing that they noticed as this pandemic unfolded was they were so disappointed, because they always thought their fellow New Yorkers were, you know, not perfect, but they had that tough, you know, don't tell me what to do attitude. And my mom talks about it all the time. She has some friends, some parents of kids I was friends with who were from New York. And she says, I love people from New York because they don't mess around. They're tough. And it seems like not only in New York, but in America, we lost that over the last 18 months. And I was confused by that, because I was with a group of people over the weekend, and someone said, oh, well, after we get to this point, they're going to allow us to do this. And I was with one of my aunts, and she said, that's a bad word to be using, allow. People, these things they're allowing us to do, or they're giving us permission to do, or we might be able to do, this is stuff that we have always been able to do. This is our freedom. No one should have been able to take away this stuff from the beginning. And I think another thing, to Mike's point, just beyond the voting and the elections and the guns, I think another huge thing we have to work on in this country is figuring out how to deal with and how to put some restraints on these emergency powers. Because emergencies are clearly in the eyes of the beholders. And right now, these power-hungry authoritarians, they're going to run with these emergencies for the rest of time, unless we put some rules in here. You can't just declare an emergency and shut down people's businesses. That's not how this works. I mean, apparently that's how it works right now. But I'm hoping that people will wake up. And a thing I always tell people is, you know, run for school board, run for town committee, get involved. I know it sounds so basic, but I never give up hope, because when I watch videos of all these college kids and they're all in yellow or green or red or orange and they're all screaming and they're all happy, it's like, we've got to get back to that, because you'd be surprised how many people want the old normal and aren't on board with this new normal. Tommy from West Virginia. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, I just watched Joe Manchin tell the news media at an impromptu press conference at the Capitol. He basically got sandbagged by a dozen or so reporters screaming at him, you know, about this $3.5 trillion bill. And he said, listen, in July, I signed on to the infrastructure bill. And he said, it's real simple, folks. He goes, if you're the average working person and you want to purchase something and you look at your weekly paycheck and you realize, you know what, I really want this, but I can't afford it. And he said, I've been that way my whole career. He says, I've never been a liberal. And if Democrats want these things in the next election, they're just going to have to get more progressives elected. And the reality is, there's a very good chance, I pray to God, that we have Republicans take over the House and Senate. That's the only way we're going to stop this juggernaut, because that last election was not a mandate. People voted for Joe Biden because they did not like Donald Trump. That's basically why he got in. And I normally live in, well, I have a home up in Brockton, and I call you from time to time. I'm not a registered voter in Massachusetts. I renounce my citizenship to the People's Republic. I'm a registered voter here in West Virginia. I'm sending Joe Manchin $100 for his re-election campaign.
Amen. Amen, brother. And you know what? It's funny that you should mention that about the fact that this election, and I know that a lot of liberals got excited. People like AOC thought, oh, this means everyone's on board for tree equity and the civilian climate corps and eliminating cow farts and free college and free health care. But you're absolutely right. It wasn't that. It was that people were so Trump deranged that they would rather vote for Joe Biden, knowing that he is in cognitive decline, that he cannot handle any of this, but it made them feel good that they weren't voting for Donald Trump. And to your point, you can look at other situations. One of them that's a very telling one was when former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner gave her concession speech after losing to Chantel Brown. There's a lot of far left progressives who were put up against a regular moderate Democrat, a la a Joe Manchin type, and they lost. So as much as AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar think they rule the school, they don't, first of all, they don't have as much power as senators. That's just how America's built. But also, AOC won in a very, very strange election where the guy she ran against basically didn't campaign, gave up. But these people couldn't run in moderate areas. No one agrees with their policies. And so they think they're going to play hardball to get this $3.5 trillion. And I hope that they vote down this $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. I hope they do it. Because if you think Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are going to say, oh, well, we have to go along with it to get this infrastructure. No, that's not what's going to happen. Instead, Joe Biden will get nothing. He'll have no wins on his domestic agenda. And that is something I think we can all look forward to. Eat Impure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With over 100,000 sold and counting, the Thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. Jared, I know you love the Thunderstorm.
Yes, I use it both in my home and in my car, especially for my allergies, because if you have seasonal allergies, mine last all year. You get the scratchy throat, the watery eyes, the runny nose. It's all that yuck that you don't want. All you have to do is you plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you turn it on, and within minutes it starts ionizing the air. It sends out those ions, which creates a super oxygen. It gets rid of allergens, pollutants, some viruses, nasty stuff like that. You don't want breathing in the air. I have one in the house, and I have one in my car because it comes with a little USB cable. You just plug it in, so I get fresh air at home, and I get fresh air on the road.
Yes, and it's also really good to get rid of smells, just to add that in case you're not someone who struggles with allergies. It's great just to have in the kitchen or by the trash can. It's a great way to keep the air fresh. Right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. Here's what you have to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight. Shipping is free. I want to hear more from the listeners. I'm loving these calls about what you think as far as Manchin and Sinema and how this is going to play out for Democrats. I thought I was the only one yesterday when I said I have my popcorn ready. And then I went on the New York Post today, and there was a big story about watching this civil war among Democrats and how entertaining it is. And there was a big picture of popcorn. So now I know that a lot of people feel the same way I do, which is, let the games begin. The alligator might eat you last, but Pelosi and Biden are going to find out that he always eats you. You know, he might eat you last, but he's going to eat you. 844-500-4242. We are at Apex in Marlboro. Make sure you come on down. It's actually on Apex Drive. So just put that in your GPS. Head on down. Howie will be here soon. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Now, but what do you say to people who feel you and Senator Sinema are holding this whole thing up?
I'm not holding it. You know, we only have 50 votes. Basically, take whatever we aren't able to come to agreement with today. And take that on the campaign trail next year, and I'm sure that they'll get many more liberal, progressive Democrats with what they say they want.
Now, but what do you say?
Right, exactly. He's basically saying elections have consequences. You know, the people who voted for me are probably backing what I'm deciding to do, and if you don't like it, get more progressives in there, which they've been having trouble doing. They've been primarying a ton of people, you know, throwing money down the toilet, and it hasn't been working because people don't like their ideas. That's the problem here. People don't like their ideas. And if they did like their ideas, they wouldn't have to be so sneaky about it. In fact, here's an idea. Mileage tax study. Not actual mileage tax. The mileage tax study is proposed in the infrastructure bill. You know, that $1 trillion infrastructure bill we're all just dying to get pushed through? Well, they're going to study. It's a pilot program that would study the mechanics of such a tax. And so people were running with this and saying that the Biden's trillion-dollar infrastructure bill would establish a national study to assess how such a tax could be implemented. But people thought they were actually implementing the tax. But don't worry. They're just studying it. They're just spending money studying how they can implement a tax. And then I'm sure if the study doesn't go well, they'll give up on the idea. I'm sure the study isn't just a launching pad to putting the program into place. Guys, we're at Apex, big restaurant, big open bar. Not open bar, but just like open to the public. Not open. Everybody here is like, ooh, no. We'll be right back.